All right, if you didn't get one of these half sheets, you'll want to get it before you leave today. And then we're going to talk about fasting this morning. We have our week of prayer and fasting, and I thought I would just talk about why prayer and fasting. And this is 31 years of prayer here at the church. Saturday night prayer meetings. 31 years. Every Saturday night for 31 years. And last night, man, it's just like you could tell the week of prayer and fasting is coming. There was just fresh fire, fresh wind blowing in the prayer chapel. And this year we'll celebrate on that day 7 of the week of prayer and fasting, 31 years. And then this is the 17th year of fasting and prayer, or prayer and fasting. 17 years. And just thinking about, for some of you, this is all new. You're there going, prayer and fasting. I've been part of a church, but I've never been part of prayer and fasting. And I hope today will be a Sunday that you could see why we do prayer and fasting. And for some of you, this is all review, right? It's all review. 17 years. You've been hearing me, and you're like, yeah, I know why our church does prayer and fasting. But I was thinking as I thought about this morning that maybe for you this hour could be a gift. Maybe you could listen in a different way. Instead of just to acquire knowledge, you could listen to, Lord, am I to participate this year? If I am, why am I participating? And what is my fast to look like? You probably won't spend another hour asking what your fast is to look like. So maybe this could be a gift to you. Maybe you could open up a note and just say, Lord, speak. You know, the Bible says, I was thinking during worship, do you know that your spirit is willing? Your spirit wants to go as deep as possible, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is like, yeah, not this year. So maybe just submit all that to the Lord this hour. Lord, what would it look like for me? Let's go through, before we talk about why fasting and praying, I just love the who. Just it blows me away. You know, this week I went through every verse in the Bible personally on prayer and fasting. I was amazed. I've been leading this for 17 years, but I was amazed again at how powerful the message of prayer and fasting is. I have the opportunity to be in Japan this year calling churches to prayer and fasting. Then later in the year, I'm going to be at a leaders conference in Italy calling churches to prayer and fasting. And it's just amazing how strong this message is in the Bible. David in Psalm 35:13, and David repeatedly used the words about humbling himself with fasting. David repeatedly, this is just one verse, and you may ask, well, why do you call it humble? Because fasting is a way that we humble ourselves before the Lord. And as we're talking about fasting, as we talk about the who, Jehoshaphat, some years we'll only look at Jehoshaphat as we go into the year of prayer and fasting. And we read about Jehoshaphat, how these three nations greater and mightier than Israel, all three nations, all came against Israel. And Jehoshaphat was afraid. He feared. And what do we do when we fear? We do what Jehoshaphat did. We seek the Lord. But here we see, for the first time in the Bible, a godly leader calling the people of God to a corporate fast. You can fast a meal on your own, a day on your own, 72 hours on your own. But it's powerful to be part of a corporate fast. And here we read of, it was proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. We'll talk more about corporate fasting later. But so Judah gathered together, that's the name for Israel. Judah gathered, the nation of Israel, gathered together to ask help. That's why we fast. You need help. To ask help from the Lord. Why do we fast? To seek the Lord. My spirit is willing. My flesh is weak. When we read the prayer of Jehoshaphat is in my heart every day of my life, and maybe it's in your heart. As they were fasting, Jehoshaphat prayed, 2 Chronicles 20:12, O our God, will you not judge them? That's not the part of prayer, the prayer that's in my heart every single day, but it's the next part. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That's what our week of humble is. People that are just like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what you want for my life. I don't know how to solve this. I can't seem to fix this. Seems broken. But my eyes are on you. And oh, if you know that chapter, how God moved in the most powerful way, just as the people worshiped, God moved. And this whole week, starts in 2 weeks. On the 25th, we're going to be worshiping morning, noon, and evening. And Ezra, another reason why we call it humble, Ezra 8:21, then I proclaimed a fast. So what I want you to see is godly leaders calling the people of God to fast. That's a corporate fast. That's what we're entering into. And I proclaimed a fast there at the River Ahava that we might, why do we call it humble? From these scriptures, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. And so, Lord, this is, we need to know what you want us to do. And it's a time to fast for your kids. And notice in verse 23, so we fasted and entreated our God, or called upon our God for this, and he answered our prayer. God's a God that answers when we pray and when we fast and pray. And we read in Nehemiah 1:4, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned many days. What did Nehemiah hear? He heard disturbing news. Jerusalem's, the walls are torn down, the gates have been burned, and that's why we fast and pray. There's disturbing things going on. There's ruin going on. There's disaster. The enemy seems victorious, and we realize it's a time to fast and pray. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Nehemiah 9:1, the children of Israel were assembled. So what are you reading about? Corporate fasting. In sackcloth and with dust on their heads, they're just humbling themselves before God. And then they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. So there's a place to both confess our sins and sin that's in our family. And they stood up in their place. And this can be what fasting looks like. Just a lot of time reading the word of God. They read from the book of the law of the Lord of their God for a fourth of the day. And for another fourth, they confessed and they worshiped the Lord. So it can just be a time of, yeah, I'm setting this week aside. I'm going to worship more. I'm going to read the word of God more because I'm turning a lot of other things off in my life. And we'll talk about that. And we read in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplication, and you start to come alive like, wow, these are all like the greatest stories in the Bible, and they all involve fasting. I set my face toward God the Lord to make request by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed to the Lord my God. I made confession and said, oh Lord, great and awesome God. And again in verse 20, now while I was speaking to God, praying, confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel. We live in a sinful nation. And we confess our sin, we confess the sin of our nation, presenting our supplication before the Lord my God. Daniel 10:3. This is super insightful to fasting. I ate no pleasant food, no meat, or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself with at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. We'll talk about this called a Daniel fast. Some fasting is just water fasting. Daniel was very active in the government in Persia, and this is how he found that he could fast with still having such a busy, demanding schedule. It's a different type of fast. We just go, yeah, I'm not going to eat anything I like. No pleasant food. I love corn chips. No corn chips this week. I love guacamole. No guacamole. I love salsa. I pretty much love all food. You know, so all food is pleasant to me, so I gotta figure out what pleasant food I might not eat if I'm fasting this way. For me, it always involves coffee. I love coffee. I love my morning coffee. You're like, Pastor Rob, please don't talk about our morning coffee. This is not gonna go well if you talk about my morning coffee. I'll fast, but I'm not giving up my morning coffee. Why? You delight in it. What if you delighted in God more? Right? What if you took all the foods that you love and you just kind of, instead of living to eat, you just kind of eat to live for a week? And all that extra energy, I'm already thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch. All the energy, I'm already thinking about dinner. You know, I'm always thinking about food. And this week, I'm going to just think about the Lord. And we'll talk more about the Daniel fast. Daniel 10, verse 11, the angel Gabriel said to me, "Oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved." It's amazing how that's the first thing the angel wanted Daniel to know when he was fasting. "Understand the words that I speak to you. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself." Right? For 21 days, Daniel was fasting. What happened? The first day, things started to happen. Did Daniel see it? No, not aware of it. That's a lot of times the way it is. We're fasting, don't see anything. Praying, don't see anything. But from the first day that you'll start to fast and pray, God will begin to move. "Your words were heard, and I've come because of your words." But this is so interesting. "But the prince of Persia," the kingdom of Persia, "withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." As soon as Daniel started to fast and pray, a spiritual battle started. And for 21 days, it just seemed like this is useless, this is worthless, nothing's happening. I prayed, and I guess God doesn't hear. I guess God doesn't answer. God was moving. Daniel just couldn't see it. And this, we'll talk more about this battle as we go into the week of prayer and fasting. Jonah chapter 3:8, the king of Nineveh proclaimed a fast, and all Assyria, "Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. And yes, let everyone turn from his evil way, from the violence of his hands." You know, there's a place to cry mightily to God. Lord, bless this food. Sometimes that's all we ever ask for. Lord, bless my night's sleep. Keep me safe. You know, there's a place for your soul to be awakened and you cry mightily to God. And what happened? The entire city of Nineveh turned to the Lord. And we read in verse 10, "Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented." God what? God changed his mind from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Wait, God changes his mind? I thought Malachi 3:6 says, "I am the Lord, and I don't change." And you're saying he changes. His character doesn't change. Never. But God is a God who responds to prayer. God is a God who responds to fasting. God is a God who responds to repentance. And on and on. God is a God who responds when there's forgiveness, when there's reconciliation, when there's unity. And on goes the list, that God is a God who responds. I think of Joel 2 as we're going into this week. Joel said, "Rend your heart and not your garments." The people in the Old Testament, when they were really grieved, they would rip their clothes. Like, "God, I'm so grieved." But Joel says, tear your hearts. Wonder if this isn't a verse for you even this morning. Return to the Lord your God, for he's gracious and he's merciful God's so gracious. He wants to give you what you don't deserve. He wants to forgive you however you failed. He's slow to anger. A lot of times we think God's angry with us. He's probably not. He's so slow to anger. He's so kind. And he relents from doing harm. When? If you'll return to him. Right? He doesn't want you to have to be disciplined as a believer. He doesn't want to have to chastise you. He doesn't want to discipline you. He wants you to return to him. And then we see Jesus, as we get to the New Testament, Jesus fasted 40 days, and it's so powerful. What happened when Jesus fasted 40 days? Luke 4:14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Boy, don't you want to go into this year in the power of the Spirit? Isn't that reason enough to be part of fasting and praying? Like, yeah, I want that. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to be working in my life as I go into this year. And then the disciples, and again, you have the half sheet, and the reason I gave you that is it's all there for you. It's all there for you to go as deep as you want to go as this week is coming. And the disciples, and that could be a mistake we make, they failed to fast and pray. And they came up against problems. They couldn't fix it. They couldn't solve it. They just felt like they were just going to live in defeat. Why are we defeated? Why aren't we seeing any victory? And Jesus told them, this kind, Matthew 17:21, does not go out except by prayer and fasting. There's some battles that the only way we're going to overcome them as a church or you as a family or you as a person is through prayer and fasting. Lord, what's it to look like? I hope you're asking that. What would you have me participate this year? Is there a reason for me to participate this year? Would that be healthy for me? Are there things stirring in me? Like, oh, I should definitely consider it. Cornelius, Acts 10, praying and fasting and visions. It's amazing what will happen as we start to fast and pray. God will just start to, every year, fill our minds with all of these visions that are from him. All the ways he speaks to us in such powerful illustrations and ways and pictures. Acts 13:2, while they were worshiping the Lord, you're like, Pastor Rob, I had no idea there's this much. I know, isn't it surprising? How powerful, how central the message of fasting is. And yet, so often, not central in our lives. And yes, so powerful. While they were worshiping the Lord, this is a powerful New Testament church, Antioch, that changed the world. How did they change the world? They worshiped and they fasted. Worship and fasting changes the world. They worshiped, they fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, right? When it's normal when we start fasting and praying that the Holy Spirit is going to speak. That the Holy Spirit is going to separate people, call people. He has work for us to do. It's normal during a time of prayer and fasting for God to be speaking to you about, I've laid hold of you for these reasons. This is who you are. This is what makes you tick. This is how I want to use you. This is how I want to work in your life. This is what you're called to. And often we don't know what we're called to. We don't know what God has for us. And that's why prayer and fasting is so powerful. So who is this fast for? As we're asking the question every year, who? It's a corporate fast. It's for our church. And I would just bring up a searching question. It might not be your church yet. You might just be here like, nope, this is not my church. I'm just here this morning. But if this is your church, is this your church? Do you just attend here? Like, no, I just go here. Or is this your church? I would say if you answered, this is my church, your church is fasting. It's a corporate fast. I think that's why this morning we're talking about it. It's 2 weeks away. It will take that for you to make decisions if you're going to be involved or if you can adjust your schedule. We'll talk about the schedule in a minute. But who is the fast forwards for our church? Every year, everything is open and spread before the Lord. That's the heart. Everything. Everything. Nothing off limits, Lord. Anything can stop here. Anything could start here. Anything could stop in my life. Anything could start in my life. That's powerful. 1 Samuel 3:10, speak, Lord. That's one of the most powerful prayers in the Bible. Speak, Lord. That's what the week is all about. Speak, Lord. I'm listening. I don't always have ears to hear, but I'm taking time because I want to hear. It's a week-long prayer retreat. It's free, too, by the way. Doesn't cost any money. There's no food involved. Completely free, all week long. And I want to really call us. I sense that burden to call our church to fasting and prayer. So who are we fasting for? Zechariah 7 answers it. Say to all the people of the land and to the priest when they fasted. And this is a question that is so powerful. When you fasted, was it all about you? Or did you really fast for me? For me? Really? It was for me? That's what we want our week to be. What is fasting? Fasting literally, as you might already be able to conclude, just means no food, biblically. Fasting is saying no to food. And every time you're saying no to food, you're not just there sulking, so hungry. I want guacamole. I want corn chips. Like, oh, tamales. Why didn't I eat more tamales last week? Or whatever, right? Fasting is saying no to food, which I love, but it's saying yes to God. It's saying yes to God in just about the most powerful way we can say yes to God. Fasting is denying the physical. I don't like the way that sounds. I don't either. I love our week of prayer and fasting, and at the same time, to be really honest, I hate it. Somewhere in like November, I start to tremble around Thanksgiving when I'm eating. Like, no, it's coming. Maybe 17 years was enough. Lord, how about a 3-day fast? Well, that's powerful. Couldn't that be powerful? He hasn't spoken to us about a 21-day fast yet, so that's encouraging in a way. Fasting is denying the physical, seeking the spiritual. Boy, we typically were seeking the physical and we're denying the spiritual. Nope, I don't think God has that for me this year. Really? It may be, and that's okay. Maybe you'll conclude, you know what? It's just not for me. Biblically, fasting primarily means saying no to food, but not just food. Fasting can involve saying no to things we enjoy and take pleasure. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 7:5. Don't deprive each other of sexual relations. So this is a powerful teaching on many levels. Unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so that you can give yourself to fasting and prayer. So there's a principle established. Fasting primarily involves food, but it can involve other things we take pleasure in, like sex, like exercise. You could create your own list, like television, technology, social media, coffee, sugar, dark chocolate, which I crave, right? So what would happen if you took a week and you started turning dials down? Every year this picture has been in our mind for 17 years. What would happen if you started turning the dials down? Things you delight in. Things that are good for you. Exercise is good for you. What if you turn the television off? What if you put your phone away for a week and only use it for necessity, but no scrolling? Can you imagine what would happen in your heart if you were talking to God as much as you scrolled? You'd change the world. What if you turn, how powerful would it be to deny the physical? I love coffee. Yeah, Rob, it doesn't matter how much you talk about it. I am not. I've done it now 10 years. I don't do coffee. I don't do food, but I just have my cup of coffee. Well, you just have to decide. For me, every year, the Lord's just saying, yeah, it's good for you to turn that dial down. And just to want me that much more. That's fasting. What fasting is not, it's so hard because it sucker punches us. Fasting is not to be righteous. Because sometimes we mean so well, but then we're not able to keep the fast, or we give in, or we break down a little, and then we just feel like, oh, I'm not right with God. You're right with God because of Jesus Christ, not because you fast. We don't work to be right with God. It's not a hunger strike. What fasting is not, we're not just all week like, I'm hungry and I'm miserable. I want to get my way. It's fasting and prayer. Anyone who's ever fasted at some point, you go, why am I starving myself again? Because every time I'm so hungry, I pray with hunger. It's not a diet, and if you have any type of eating disorder, I'd probably say to you, it's not for you. You can fast powerfully from things that don't involve food, and I just say, you probably should decide that outright, that's not for me, unfortunately. And it's not about the health benefits, but the benefits. I posted on my Instagram and our Facebook, I think the church's Facebook too, if you wanna watch the most powerful video from Dr. Pete, a believer, a doctor who was healed of brain cancer, he talks about the 72-hour benefits of fasting, that it doesn't starve you, it heals your body. Powerful. We're body, soul, and spirit. So, when we say it's not about health benefits, we are body, soul, and spirit, and there is a component of us having health benefits, but primarily, even though it's so healing, prayer and fasting is not about the health benefits. What about the question, where? Can I fast from home? And the answer is absolutely. Can I fast from school? Yes, absolutely. You can be part of, can I fast from work? Yes. And even Zoom, you can help us spread the word. There might be people that can't ever come, or maybe you won't be able to come, but every morning and every night you can be on Zoom with people from the church in a Zoom prayer meeting. And from wherever you're at, you can be part of that. And then just keep in mind as we talk about the where, that this is a corporate fast. There is fasting during the year that you do alone. This is not that. This is corporate fasting like we've been reading about. And I would say this is one of the most powerful corporate weeks of the year here at the church. That's my commentary on 17 years. It is the most powerful week of the year at the church. And all year long, you hear the stories. Oh, our marriage was saved during the week of fasting and praying. Oh, our child returned to the Lord during the week of fasting and praying. Oh, we heard the call of God. That's why we're going off as missionaries in the week of fasting and prayer. Oh, we moved because the Lord spoke to us during fast. All during the year it shows up. You hear it over and over and over. Charles Spurgeon, who deeply has impacted my life. I put this up every year. Our seasons of fasting, 1862, 1861 to 1892, Charles Spurgeon pastored the tabernacle, 31 years. It seated 5,000 people. There was no amplification. I picture him like Pavarotti. He must have preached like Pavarotti sings, the opera singer, if you're going, who? Pavarotti. Our seasons of fasting and prayer at the tabernacle, 5,000 people have been high days indeed. Never has heaven's gate stood wider. That's what happens. Heaven opens. Never have our hearts been nearer. That's what happens. Corporate fasting. Is it, I'm going to feel that way? Maybe not. Maybe you're not going to feel anything. You know, it's interesting. I was driving to church this morning. And I was just, I don't know why. I just was prompted. I shouldn't have done it while I was driving, but I did. I just asked chat, you know, kind of held my finger on the button. I can do it verbally. I said, what years did Charles Spurgeon pastor the tabernacle? 1861 to 1892, he died on January 31st. That's the last day of our fast this year. January 31st. We'll have been praying for 31 years on Saturday nights. It's amazing how this man's life has impacted my life. I this year, on January 31st, is the day that he died in 1892. Well, when Jesus said, this verse alone, when you fast, isn't that so powerful? Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast. So powerful. Christianity isn't if you're gonna fast, it's when you fast. It's found in Matthew 6:16. When you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. Don't do it to be seen by people. Do it to be seen by God is what Jesus teaches. When Humble starts in 2 weeks on January 25th, and it's a good time to ask now, 2 weeks out, so, okay, if I am gonna be part of it, what will work for me? Every morning at 6 a.m., we put it at 6 a.m. because I think almost everyone who works, you could still come at 6 a.m. if you wanted to. Pull up a picture of the morning time. The morning times are a delight in the prayer chapel. That's last year. Isn't that amazing? And it's mainly young people that, I don't know why, the young people just flood into the morning time. The older people sit in the chairs around the outside. The younger generation, they're so gracious to just take the floor. Such a powerful, powerful time. Every morning, every noontime, there's a prayer. You can come for 10 minutes at noon on your lunch hour, a half hour, the whole hour. Every evening. Now, in the evening time, it takes hundreds of leaders to oversee the evening prayer times and take a look at and just listen into one of my favorite videos on what it sounds like. Every night, the leaders are getting ready for all the people to come. So powerful. That's just the leaders getting ready for the hundreds of people that come every night. Just bring up a picture of the night times. Right? That's your church. That's your church praying. You have 2 weeks to figure out, will I be part of it? My church is fasting and praying. Will I be part of it? Why would I choose to be part of it? Just to summarize, to ask help from God as a way to humble yourself before God. You need direction. Your family, your children need breakthrough. It's a powerful weapon that needs to be wielded. Otherwise, you're going to continue to live in defeat. Crisis. Our family's in crisis. I'm in crisis. Repentance. I need answers. I want to go into a new year alive and revived. Victory. To seek and to hear God. That's a summary of all the scriptures we've read this morning. And just again, how do you fast? There's an absolute fast, which you read about in the Bible, which means no water and no food. I said that. No water. That could be for a day that you're just crying out to God. I'm so hungry for you. I'm so thirsty. A normal fast is just you saying, I'm going to go this long with no food. A partial fast can be like we talked about, a Daniel fast. All the things, I'm going to kind of make the list of the things I delight in, and I'm not going to eat those this week. Could be a juice fast, a soup fast. And I'll just skip down for our media team to the paragraph. It's powerful how fasting unites and binds all of us together for a week of prayer. It's power. It's amazing what I've witnessed happen. Let's just say that you're watching no TV, you're having no sugar, no desserts, and you're just fasting breakfast all week long. Let's just say that's what your fast looks like. It's amazing how you won't forget your fasting that week. You'll be bound together with all of us. Even if you just fasted from social media and technology for the whole week, you'll be bound together with all of us. It's so powerful what happens. Starts on Saturday the 25th. The seventh day of prayer and fasting is the 31st. It's 31 years of prayer. We'll be at church that Saturday night, the 31st. Praying, getting ready for your week. Medications, make sure you first talk to your doctor if you're going to fast off of any medications. I don't normally talk about what our fast is going to look like, but Susie and I are sensing that we're going to do a 72-hour water fast, and then we're going to do a type of Daniel fast for the remainder of the week where we say no to foods that we delight in, and we're going to fast that way. So, medications, you need to talk to your doctor if you're going to do a 72-hour water fast. Should kids fast? No. Should kids see their parents fast? You answer it. How powerful. On Wednesday night, we pray for all the kids. We can bring that picture up. All the kids from the youngest to the oldest, we pray for our kids. I think we have a picture of little Adley. There she is. That's Adley Beagley. They wrote me, oh, we love that we're a church that fasts and prays and praying for our little girl. All of the kids, all ages, on Wednesday, we're going to pray for them in the circles. Every night, we pray for each other in prayer circles. You can go back to that other picture that's day 7 last year. That's what Saturday night prayer meeting looked like at the end of 30 years. I hope you'll come. I hope you'll come to day 7 this year. If I'm not fasting, can I still come and pray? Yes. I encourage you to fast something, though, because it'll bind you together, whatever it is. If you're not planning on fasting or not planning on joining us, I just say, please reconsider. Day 7, as I said, 131 will be 31 years. And then invite others. You have these cards today. That's not just for you, but you can invite others. I remember a high schooler from Philomath. He came in on Saturday night, and I remember I stood right by him, and he said, dang, I didn't even know there were this many Christians in Corvallis. Powerful. Especially the younger generation, do everything you can do to get them in circles as we ask every morning, every noon, every night for God to revive them. And then I'm just going to finish, and we'll have the prayer team come back, or the worship team come back up. But there's one story that I just can't get away from, and it's in Luke 2. We'll pull that up. I think there's like 45 minutes on this in my heart, so that can't be today, right? You're going, yeah, Rob, that can't be today. Look, what time is it? Yeah, that's not today. There's so much in my heart that I can't get away from. There was this Anna. She's a prophetess. It's amazing how the gospel elevates women. Everywhere the gospel goes, women are elevated and used and cherished and loved and served and prayed for. And this powerful woman, that study's in my heart. It's going to come out on God's heart for women in ministry, but we'll wait on that. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She got married a virgin. That is God's way, by the way. That is the blessed path. So blessed to not to have to compare your spouse with anyone else. God knows what he's doing. I picture her, we'll just make up, we don't know the age. Let's say she was 17 years old. She lived with her husband 7 years till 24. We're going to read, for the next 60 years, she was a widow. This woman was a widow of about 84. She was 84 years old, so 60 years she was a widow. You probably look at the story and go, yeah, those were like probably the best years of her life. 7 years married. That's how I think of life. Like, my married life is the best years of my life. It's amazing how God sustained this woman. She didn't depart from the temple. She could have been so bitter. Many people are bitter when life doesn't go the way they want it to go. But what sustained her? She served God. That will sustain you. People won't sustain you. God sustains you. Churches can't sustain you. Pastors can't sustain you. God can sustain you. Wow, there it is again. How did she do it? 60 years fasting. Fasting and prayer. Night and day. We're going to have a week of night and day. And go on to the next verse. 84 years old. Like, humanly, you read, oh yeah, those were the best years of her life. 7 years from her virginity, married. 60 years a widow. I'm amazed at this story, how coming in that instant, right when Jesus, the sacrifices were being offered for him, Mary and Joseph brought him to the temple. She gave thanks to the Lord, her Messiah, and spoke of him. She had this great privilege to speak of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Amazing story. I've been meditating on this all week. And I can be really honest with you. I don't know if this word is for me. We'll bring up the next word. I honestly don't know if this word is something God's speaking to me all week or if it's a word for someone. Yeah, that's a clever little phrase. I've seen that before. Did you find that online? I to be honest, I have seen that online before. I couldn't get away from it. All week long, the Lord was ministering to me the story of this widow for 60 years. Whatever she thought the best was yet to come for her. Isn't that amazing what the Lord had for her? He orchestrated her to be there in that instant where she would see the baby Jesus Messiah and be able to thank him and make him known. Her whole life, the best was yet to come. And I don't know, I can't get away from it. Maybe it's for me. Maybe that's the Lord just saying, Rob, the best is yet to come for you. Maybe it's for you. Could you believe it? I don't know. Maybe if God would speak it to you, believe it. Maybe it's for our church. Maybe it's for our youth ministries. I don't know. I'm believing it. I am just believing God. The best is yet to come. Let's stand up. So many times we lose hope. So many times life beats us down. All of us have found ourselves, we got off on an off ramp, stopped running the race. Anyone who's fought the good fight has been knocked down. This world is constantly battling us to give up. I don't know, I just sense God's heart, the best is yet to come. I believe for someone, he wants you to believe it. I don't know, if it's not the Lord, don't believe it. If that's not for you, just say, oh, that's neat, that's for someone else.